Okay, I'm going to start on my message. Good morning again, and thank you so much for having me here. Last week I shared a story about Tim Conway. You remember Tim, most of you. But this time I'm going to share the story at the beginning. And the reason I'm going to do that is because it pertains to the message that we have today. So here we go, Lord. Ken Gobb is a family, and this story took place about 1970s. When did they have the telephone booths around 1970s? The telephone booths that you used to have on the side streets? Okay, so that's very important that you know that date. Ken Gobb and his family, his wife and his children, were a traveling family ministry. And they would go out throughout the United States. And they traveled up to 50,000 miles a year, going to different places like churches, schools. They actually went to schools when they would allow God into the schools. And then, like, probably fairs and stuff like that they went to, or concerts they might have had. And what they, of course, did, they sang and they shared the gospel. So his sons happened to be old enough, two of his sons were old enough to actually drive the motor coaches. They had two different motor coaches, and they drove, the two sons were driving the motor coach down the interstate. And, of course, now the dad, his name is Ken, he was kind of just relaxing a little bit while the sons were driving. And as he's relaxing and meditating and talking to the Lord, he goes, "Lord, where am I supposed to be? What are we supposed to be doing?" And he's trying to, you know how Adam said, "But Lord, it's the woman you gave me." Well, this is what Ken was doing. He was using some excuse, and he was saying, "You know, the gas prices are going up, and the repairs on these motor coaches, they're getting expensive, and, you know, couldn't we just do what you want us to do but be stationary so we don't have to drive all over all the time?" And so he's, you know, he's talking to the Lord. And about that time, the two sons, again, one's in one motor coach and the other's in another, they had CBs back then. I don't know, do they still have CBs on big truckers and stuff? I suppose they do. So anyway, the one son CBs the other. He goes, "Hey, there's a diner up the road." He says, "Let's pull over and have lunch." And the other son says, "Oh, okay." So, of course, they get off the ramp and they get on the main road. And they're getting out of the coach, you know, park the coach, the motor coaches, and they get out and they're starting to walk to the diner. And they're going, "Come on, Dad, let's go." And his wife's going, "Yeah, hon, let's go eat." And he goes, "Nah, I need to stretch my legs. I'm really not that hungry. I'll be in later." So he starts walking down the main street where they were at, and it probably had maybe a grocery store and a gas station and you know, diner, post office, kind of a small town. And then it says, as he was walking along, he hears a phone ringing. And it was a phone that was in a phone booth. And it was next to a gas station. And the phone was ringing, and it was ringing. And finally he thought, well, wouldn't that gas station attendant, wouldn't he go answer that? Well, then he noticed he was with the customer. The phone just kept ringing and kept thinking, well, maybe it's an emergency. Maybe I better go answer this. So he answers it. He goes, "Hello." The operator on the other end says, "Excuse me, but I have a person-to-person call for Mr. Ken Gobb." Now, Ken's like, is this a prank? Or is this candid camera? Okay, so he looked around. He didn't see anybody. Well, the operator's getting impatient. She goes, sir, are you Mr. Ken Gobb? I have a person-to-person call for Mr. Ken Gobb." He goes, I'm Ken Gobb." Well, then, before the operator could say another word, this woman on the other end says, "You don't know me, but I saw you on TV once, and I thought you were the person that could help me." So she talks to Ken for a while about her problem and how she wanted to end her life. Ken counseled her for 10 minutes. And then Ken said, "You know, Millie, suicide is a permanent solution to only a temporary situation." That really got her attention. And after he ministered to her, they promised to keep in touch with each other. But now Ken, he's thinking, "Millie, before you go, how exactly did you get this phone number?" She says, "Well, it just kind of came into my mind and I wrote it down. Is this your office in California?" Ken says, "No, my office isn't in California. My office is in Washington." "Well, where are you then?" Millie says. Ken says, "Millie, you called me. I'm in a phone booth at a gas station in Dayton, Ohio." Millie says, "What are you doing there?" And Ken laughs and said, "Answering the phone." So, what are the odds? What are the odds? Here's Ken asking, "Where am I supposed to be? What do you want me to do?" But just like Esther, for such a time as this, Ken was put at the right place at the right time for the right person to do the right thing. Ken had assured Millie that God was there for her. He explained to her the odds of this happening. It was definitely a God thing. But was this situation just for Millie? To save Millie from making a bad decision? Like he said, a suicide is a permanent situation for a temporary problem. It saved Millie's life, probably. But look at it this way. God did something for Ken. He was in doubt. He was questioning what God wanted him to do. But through this situation, through this experience that he had, it says God, he said, when his wife said to him, "How come you're not coming in for lunch?" And he just laughed at her, laughed and smiled, and he said, "You know what? God does know where I'm at. He does know what I'm doing." So he got an answer to his prayer. And sometimes God answers our prayers and gets when we get before him in fellowship. Sometimes he does it in ways that we least expect. I mean, how would you have ever kind of fathomed that God would work in this way for Ken and for Millie? So I would say, because we talk about the title today, A Living Connection to God, isn't that what Ken had today, or at that particular time? He had a living connection with God. He had such a connection, a fellowship, a relationship with God, that he never thought twice about just telling him what he thought, how he felt, or that he was discouraged, or that he didn't know the direction he was supposed to go. That's the kind of relationship, that's the type of fellowship that God wants us to have with him. Is our purpose in life to have fellowship with God? God's reason for saving us is so that he would receive the glory from us. He wants us to live lives that glorify him. But the foremost reason that he is saving us is to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves. Because then, when he can save us from our sins, we can stand before him in righteousness. And when we stand before him in righteousness, he can fellowship with us. We can get a close relationship with him. I want you to think, and I bet you some of them were just talking about their grandkids and their kids during. I had my reasons for asking these questions. I want you to think about someone. Let's say they're coming this afternoon to see you. Someone you haven't seen for maybe a couple of days or a week or a month or maybe even years. Someone that, of course, still walking around on earth, not up in heaven. But someone that you would be so excited to see that you would want to fix them a big meal, or you'd want to take them out for lunch, or just want to sit and reminisce about things. Think about that person. You got someone in mind? Do you? Okay, then think about this. It says, anticipating the great time you will have together. Multiply that many, 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 many times over. And that's how God anticipates and desires to fellowship and have a relationship with you. That's how he loves you. That's why he loves you. In John, this is our scripture for today. If you get your Bible out and go to John 15, chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. John 15, 5, 6. And it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from me, from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, yesterday, when I was helping my son cut the limbs off of these branches, I was thinking about this scripture. I was thinking, that's what's going to happen. As he was handing me the branches to throw over in the burn pile that will burn eventually, those branches are going to what? They're going to start dry rotting, starting to wither away. And that's, of course, what happens to us when we don't get in fellowship and get in a relationship with God. So we are created to fellowship with God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, it talks about walking, but in Hebrew, of course, walking is a verb, but the word in Hebrew for walking is halak, H-A-L-A-K. And what that it refers to is a repetitive habitual movement. So Adam heard and recognized, that's the key right there. Adam recognized God's movement in the garden. So what's that tell you? It wasn't once, it wasn't twice. He recognized it because he had heard it, and he had heard it, and he had heard God's movement, God walking in the garden. So there was a relationship with Adam and with Eve. So it says in Job 7, 17, 18, it says, what is man that you magnify him, that you, God, are concerned about him, that you, God, examine him every morning and try him every moment? God's word is true. So right here he's telling us that every day he cares for us. He loves us. He's faithful every day. He watches our every move. He knows our every thought. He knows how we feel, so we might as well just in fellowship tell him, you know, I will share with you, when my husband left or passed away and went to be with the Lord, I went through a lot of mixed emotions. Some of them weren't so good. Some of them were. But I shared my feelings, my emotions with the Lord every single day. And every day, even to this day, I say, Lord, I miss him so much. But I share with him everything that I, because he knows it anyway. That's what he wants us to do. In 1 John 1:3, it says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Why is God so interested in us? Why does he want to watch over us? It's because we all know that he loves us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants a personal, close relationship with each one of us. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners, because Christ died for us. His son, his only begotten son, he sent to die for us. Now that's love. That's unconditional, unlimited, unmerited love of God. The two great attributes of God at the top of the list are his love and his holiness. God seeking a relationship with us, his creatures, his creation. Let's talk about Enoch. Thank goodness we're not living until 365 years old, but now Enoch did. But it says here in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him. In other words, he didn't experience death. God just took him. I love the way Good News Translation says it. It says, regarding Enoch, in Genesis 5, it says, Enoch spent his life in fellowship with God. Then he disappeared because God took him. Can you imagine how God must have felt about Enoch? That he just anticipated and was excited about, oh, here comes Enoch. We're going to sit in fellowship together. That's how excited God gets with us. He says, I'm no respecter of persons. So as excited as he was with Enoch, he's going to be that excited about you. Let's go to David, and I want to get my Bible here. We're going to go to David's Psalm 51. And it talks about, this is the time when David, you know, now fellowship can be a lot of different things. Your relationship with God, you know, when we have a best friend, we kind of pour out everything, don't we sometimes? Well, God's our best friend. And it says here that David, this is when he messes up and sins with Bathsheba. So it says 51, 1 and 3, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. He's saying, God, I know I've sinned against you and only you alone. And it's you I come to. And I ask for forgiveness. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. He's asking God to forgive him. He's coming and he's saying, hey, I'm human. I've made a mistake. I let the lust of my flesh get the best of me. But you, God. And my favorite scripture in Psalms, my very favorite, a gentleman by the name of Keith Green wrote a song to this scripture, and it's amazing. So if you ever think about, you know, getting online and listening, it's called Creating Me a Clean Heart. It's by Keith Green. He has since went on to be with the Lord. But it says here, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, O Lord. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me. I love that scripture. I just love that one. Let's go to Psalms 63, 1 and 2. You don't have to go there. It's short and sweet here. But it says here, and it talks about David when he was in Judah. He was in the wilderness of Judah. So, okay, in the two Psalms, the one I just mentioned, he had sinned. He had gotten into a relationship with the Lord. He fellowshiped with the Lord. He was in sin. With this one, he's not in sin. He's in the wilderness in Judah, and he's what? He's looking for direction. And it says, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in the dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. I see your power and your glory. There's a need there. Yes, the first one was he had a need to have forgiveness. But this time, he's in the wilderness, and he has a need. And he's asking God to direct him, to help him, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He's asking God to give him boldness, give him strength, give him wisdom. Because only God can do that. I think David and Enoch had an excitement and an anticipation when they fellowshiped with God. So in Luke, if you want to, it talks about in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, the lawyer asked Jesus, what should I do to have eternal life? Jesus then asked him, what do you think? And the lawyer replied back, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. In order for that individual to know that, he had to know the Lord. He had a fellowship. He had a desire. So it's not just in our heart, but in our souls. We want our bodies to line up with the Word instead of saying, oh, I'm too tired to do that right now. I don't want to do that right now. Or strength. Lord, give me the strength right now. I'm going through this turbulent time in my life and I need your strength. I want to fellowship with you. And everything and everybody is coming at me from all which directions. And I'm trying to just get in a quiet place where I can just be with you. God will make that happen. But it falls back to in your heart. What's in your heart? How badly do you want that time with God? And then in our mind's going to try to talk you out of it and say, well, you got this to do. How many times, and I'm sure we could probably all raise, Allison's smiling over there because she knows exactly what I'm going to say. How many times have we had the intentions of just getting our Bibles out and reading and fellowshipping with the Lord, and either the phone rings or somebody comes to the door or Satan's back there going, did you forget you got to do the dishes? Or, oh, look, there's a piece of paper on the floor. You know, stuff like that, just little trivial little things that try to pull you away from that time to spend with the Lord. Got it right, Allison? That happens to all of us, right? I'm sure we've all experienced that. Some of us here today might be thinking, but I really don't know how. I really don't know where to start developing that close relationship, that close fellowship with God. Well, I'm going to throw these 7 suggestions out there. Take one, take them all. If you want a list of them, I'll give them to you later. But there's 7 of them. They're not long. They're short and sweet. First one would be and I'm going to explain it because these are pretty much mostly what I do. Before my feet even hit the floor in the morning, before I even flip the covers off, I'm waking up, I sit up, and I say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that your mercies are renewed every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for this time. And I just praise him. I just thank him. It might only be for just a few minutes. But I'm starting my day with him. There's no other way to start your day than when you pray. So, and praising, as you probably are aware by now, I do sing. It wasn't very good last week, but it's going to be better today, I promise you. He loves to hear, he says, I inhabit, I am with you. I inhabit the praises of my people. So that means that when you praise him, he's there. She's talking about me. She's singing about me. Guys, do you hear this? She's singing about me. That's my girl. That's my son down there. Singing to me. Singing about me. He so loves you. And he's so proud of you. And then there are times, and I remember my husband, praise the Lord for him. I remember the many times that he would, you know, go in his room and he would, our room, but in the bedroom, and he'd shut the door. And I knew when he'd shut the door, that was his time with the Lord. And there was many, many, many times, I can't even count how many times, I would go in the bedroom and he would be laying on the floor with his face, his nose touching the carpet, his hands stretched out like this, and just praising the Lord, just loving on the Lord. He was a man after God's heart. And I'm not saying If you don't feel comfortable with that, that's fine. But do something physically that shows reverence unto the Father. And then lay there. That's what he would do. He would just lay there and he would just wait on the Lord. Sometimes it was just waiting and he would hear nothing. And sometimes the Lord would just drop something in his heart. It doesn't say that, you know, I'm not saying that God talked to him, but what I'm saying is God put something in his heart. Something like, you know, you said this last week to one of your grandkids, you need to go apologize. Or you were a little sharp with your wife today, you need to get, you know. Something like that. Something as simple as that. He lays it on our heart if we get quiet before him. And then, like me, I thank the Lord I'm at a home now that I'm renting where the whole house is mine, 3 bedrooms and a big front room and dining room and kitchen. And I can sit there and I can go through the house and just praise the Lord, thank him, and just love on him and quote scripture and sing and sing and sing and just praise him and talk to him. Like I did this morning, I said, Lord, let your anointing just fill this place today. Let your anointing prepare their hearts to receive, Lord. You have something special for each one of them. And I want them to take that home with them. I want them to walk it and talk it and live it and experience you. Because it's all about you. And then there's, of course, reading the word. That's another one. And then how about thanking him? Thanking him for your family, your grandchildren. Colton, who's doing good. Thanking him that your mother made it to Florida with no issues. Thanking the Lord for your children and your grandchildren and your friends, your church, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanking him for your health, the wisdom that he gives us, that he leads us and guides us. Just there's so many things that you can thank him for. Just talk to God as if he's walking right next to you. Just as if he's sitting right next to you. And then ask him to show you how he wants you to do it. It might be one of these, it might be some of these. But ask God. And he's going to lay it on your heart what he wants. Every book in the Bible has a theme. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. We know Genesis is about the beginning. Let's jump down to Joshua. Joshua is about conquest. Job is about blessing through suffering. Praise is about praising the Lord. How David wrote almost a half or three-fourths of the Psalms. He did it through what? Through trials, tribulations, and celebrations, he wrote Psalms. Through his experiences, which drew him closer to the Lord. Matthew, it talks about the kingdom of God. Galatians, the freedom in Christ. Philemon, it talks about forgiveness. James, it talks about genuine faith. Revelations, it says the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But in 1 John, the book of 1 John, it talks about fellowship with God. That's the theme in that book. So if you have questions, it's not a very long chapter. I think it's like five chapters. So go ahead and if you can do one chapter a day and see where God wants to lead you. Now, this is the first time I did come here the other day and practice the song that I'm going to sing this morning. I hope you can hear the music okay. And I will try to, because I think you can pick up my voice pretty well. I don't want to get too loud and drown out the music. So this is a trial run, but it's an anointed song. And actually, this song says it all. And the title of the song is, I Miss My Time With You. That's the loudest the song is. I'm sorry. There he was, just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait. To be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day, I would have passed him by again, but I clearly heard him say, I miss my time with you, all those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. But Lord, what do I have to offer? How can I truly care? My efforts have no meaning if your presence isn't there. So Lord, if you'll supply the power, I'll take that time to pray. And I'll be there beside you, and you'll never have to say, I miss my time with you, all those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. I miss my time with you. All those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. Oh, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. The Lord's saying, it's true, I miss my time with you. Lord, we just thank you that your love overrides our excuses. Help us, Father, because we can't even do this of ourselves. Help us, Father, put you first. Let us start this new year
Let it not be a resolution, but a way of life. Let us begin, Father, to just draw closer to you so we will never have to hear you say, I miss my time with you.